Good evening. Welcome to the Christmas Afterglow service. It's wonderful to see so many faces out there today. Very familiar, and some that are new, and all are welcome. For those who are unaware, this service started approximately about 20 years ago. And the idea was to gather like-minded churches together in the unity of the body of Christ, giving glory to God for the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, before I go any further, please join me in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we gather together this evening to praise you with great joy in our hearts. We thank you for all that you've done, all that you are doing, your ministry going strong in our hearts and in our lives, for all the blessings we've received and all the blessings we will receive. Thank you, Lord, for the guidance, direction, comfort, and strength that you provide us all, for your perfect plan of salvation and immeasurable love. For your grace that allows us ultimate gifts of salvation, Lord, I ask that everyone here tonight be lifted up with joy and the understanding of your word, that they receive the blessings of your word engraved into their hearts. I pray that each person feels your presence in their hearts and glorifies you even more tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the birth of our Savior. Thank you so much for the atonement of our sins, for the resurrection, the only way, the only path that would allow us to be with you for all eternity. Praise you, Lord, for not only being the one and only God, Lord, but for being such a wonderful, loving, caring God. We pray this in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen. We are going to start this evening off. I've asked Pastor Trigg if he would sing, if he would do a poem.
Not sing.
You don't have to sing the poem. but he has agreed to do a poem for us.
The poem is Bells Across the Snow, and it was written by Francis Ridley Havergal. To give it some context, Bells Across the Snow is a heartwarming Christmas poem written by the renowned English poet and hymn writer Francis Ridley Havergal. She was born on December 14, 1836 in Astley, United Kingdom, and died June 3, 1879 at Caswell Bay Beach, United Kingdom. She was 42 years old at the time that she died. You probably have sung some of her hymns, Take My Life and Let It Be, I Gave My Life for Thee, Who Is on the Lord's Side, Like a River Glorious, Another Year is Dawning, just to name a few, ones that I found in our hymnal. Bells Across the Snow was originally published in 1882. This beautiful poem tells the story of a group of church bells ringing out across the snow-covered landscape on Christmas Day, spreading joy and hope to all who hear them. It speaks to the tension between joy and sorrow. Let us remember the words of Solomon as he wrote in Ecclesiastes 7:4, "The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning." Christmas, Merry Christmas, is it really come again? With its memories and its greetings, with its joy and with its pain. There's a minor in the carol, and a shadow in the light, and a spray of cypress twining with a holly wreath tonight. And the hush is never broken by laughter light and low, as we listen in the starlight to the bells across the snow. Oh, Christmas, Merry Christmas, 'tis not so very long since other voices blended with the carol and the song. If we could but hear them singing as they are singing now, If we could but see the radiance of the crown on each dear brow, there would be no sigh to smother, no hidden tear to flow, as we listen in the starlight to the bells across the snow. Oh, Christmas, Merry Christmas, this nevermore can be. We cannot bring again the days of our unshadowed glee. But Christmas, happy Christmas, sweet herald of goodwill, with holy songs of glory, brings holy gladness still. For peace and hope may brighten, and patient love may glow, as we listen in the starlight to the bells across the snow.
Thank you for sharing that, Trigg. That was nice. For those who I haven't met, or haven't met me, or meeting me for the first time, my name is Russ Chamberlain. I'm a deacon here at Sand Lake Baptist. I am also a sinner, and there is absolutely nothing that I have ever done or could ever do to save myself. I am unworthy of God's love, and yet he loves me anyway. It is only by his grace, through faith, that I am saved. This is the same grace that saves all who believe on our Savior Jesus Christ. Looking at Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The faith. And that leads us to our first hymn this evening, Faith of Our Fathers. Please turn with me to 404 in your hymnals. Please rise. We're going to be reading from the book of Luke, chapter 2, verse 40 through 52. Luke chapter 2, 40 through 52. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it, but they supposed him to have been in the company. Went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass after 3 days that they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. 12 years old. I would like to ask Gary and Joyce to come forward. They prepared a song for us. The name of the song they have prepared is On My Father's Side. Thank you. Now, going back to the scripture that we just read, Jesus was 12 years old, taking care of his father's business. What were you guys doing at 12? If you're anything like me, you probably can't even remember 12. I'm sure it was something like kickball and having fun. And I doubt that it was ministering to adults. With a name like Emmanuel, which translates to God with us, the messages Jesus had, even at the age of 12, were absolutely wonderful. The Bible doesn't give much account of Jesus as a boy growing up. Then again, the Bible doesn't give full account of all the things that happened in Jesus' life either. As we read in John 21:25, and there are also many things that which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. At this time, I would like to invite the West Steventown Choir to join us in a song they prepared for us called On This Holy Night.
Emmanuel, our God is here.
That was very, really, really nice. Thank you. That was good. So God always keeps his promises. Amen? Because he's perfect? Or is there something more? Because he is perfect. Love? An immeasurable love, an incomprehensible love. As human beings, when we look at sin, we see it in many forms, large sin, small sin, medium. But you have to understand that every sin, no matter what the consequences are to our life, every sin is a betrayal on God. With that perspective, you'll understand how there are no bigger or small sins. There are only betrayals. So God looking down at his children and witnessing an onslaught of constant betrayals on him. Day after day, year after year, millennium after millennium. His children just pounding on his heart with betrayal. And no matter what, through it all, he still loves each and every person to a degree that we cannot fathom. So that's why I say it's an incomprehensible love. Now, if everybody in this room who you love and care about so much started just relentlessly betraying you, how long would your patience last? How long would your love for everyone last? That's the kind of love we're talking about. Immeasurable and incomprehensible. But the big dilemma is that God cannot accept sin. Sin is not allowed in the kingdom of heaven. And yet he has that immeasurable love for us. So there's the dilemma. So what's the answer? We go to the book of John, chapter 3, verses 14 through 18. This is Jesus speaking. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So the answer... The answer is Jesus Christ, our Savior. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, we know the importance of salvation and how perfect God's plan is. We also know that for all of us who believe, that salvation isn't the end game. No, it's just the beginning. The beginning of our long walk with Christ. The beginning of our personal relationship with our Lord. The Holy Spirit guides us and molds us throughout our lifetime so that we can share the word and glorify him even more. But in reflection, the tragedy is that because of our imperfections, because of our sinful nature, that Jesus had to die on the cross in the flesh to atone for our sins. So we look tonight at the miracle of God with us in the flesh, Emmanuel, the incarnation, the birth. If the birth doesn't happen, the cross doesn't happen. Then salvation isn't possible, and we are all lost. The birth did happen, though, and praise God. I would like to now invite Wes Steventown to come back up for another song called O Come, Emmanuel, how fitting and how wonderful. Thank you. Thank you guys once again. That was wonderful. So, when we examine God's Word for a better understanding of the truth, and examine our own lives, we must never forget how pure and powerful God's love is for us. And remember that it was man who brought sin into the world. It was not God. And through sin came disease and death. And this is not how God intended for us to live. And that everything good truly does come from above. And as I said earlier, without the birth of our Savior, there is no cross, redemption, or salvation. I must correct myself, however, because there would be a cross of some nature. Only we would be the ones hanging from it. That was our need for a Savior from the moment that sin entered the world. And God loves us way, way too much to allow it. When an unbeliever becomes a believer and is saved by the grace of God, a multitude of angels rejoice. And when the Savior was born, in Luke 2:13-14, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." The angels knew and understood the significance of this event, how glorious it truly was, and the eternal impact that it would have on all mankind. It would take many years for just a portion of mankind to achieve that understanding. And sadly, most still don't. So while we glorify God and give him great praise for the birth of our Savior, I would ask that all of you make some sort of a commitment in your heart to share the word and plant those seeds in others so that others may come to Christ as well. Share that incredible feeling of joy that you have in your heart for our Savior. Would everyone please stand in and join me in our next song, Ode to Joy, or Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee.
Right.
remain standing and sing with me, O Holy Night, hymn 285. You may be seated. a little bit more scripture that I'd like to share. Going to Matthew chapter 2, 10 and 11. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary the mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The wise men, the magi, brought gifts. Sorry, folks. The bad news is that I did not bring you gold tonight. I did, however, bring a few things. I brought frankincense and myrrh. Little nuggets of myrrh and little nuggets of frankincense, and also some oil made out of myrrh and frankincense. And if you've never smelled this, oh wow, it is such a beautiful, well, come see me later and you can check it out. So going back to the actual night that Christ was born, you know, I reflect on my own experiences with my kids and my grandkids and the joy that I had at those moments. And just to try to imagine what it was possibly like for Joseph and Mary, I mean, wow. A precious baby cradled in your arms, who also happened to be the only begotten Son of God. How incredible. So to conclude our service tonight, we are going to be singing hymn 266, that beautiful name. And to help me lead, I would ask that all the pastors and deacons come up and help me lead, and I will come down to you and just kind of meet me down. So. Because tonight is certainly about the unity of the body of Christ. And I'm so thankful to have all these wonderful gentlemen with me tonight.
that name every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord, the glory of God the Father. Father, we thank you for introducing us to that name which is above every name. We thank you, Father, for the gift of your Son, the absolute assurance of heaven, and the precious promises for this life and your presence with us as men. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you, Father, that the point of the incarnation is the atonement, that Christ came to die for us. And we thank you for that gift of salvation, that guarantee of eternity, and an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled. Father, we ask that you would bind our hearts together as we continue fellowship. We thank you for the hands that prepared the refreshments. And Father, we ask now that you would meet us as we share Christ with one another. And we do ask your blessing upon each one here. We thank you for their faithfulness in the Word of God. And Father, we ask that you would bless and move in the midst of your churches now. For we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.